Well, good evening, everyone, and certainly in every sense of the word, a warm welcome to church this evening on a lovely summer's evening and almost a whole week's worth of this warm and sunny weather. Something unusual, in fact. We're not used to it at all. We start to tire of it. And then when it breaks and the rain comes, we'll complain again about the rain. But we've a lovely Lord's Day evening to meet together in his house and to sing his praise. Jewish people would sometimes greet one another with the word shalom, which means peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that he gives peace. My peace I give to you, not like the world. He gives a better, lasting peace because he told us that we should not let our hearts be troubled when we're trusting in him. So let's rest in his peace and let's sing of his peace and of his love too in a selection of pieces tonight. And we'll start with number 987, please. The minister will later be speaking again from the Beatitudes and picking up on that theme of peace and peacemakers. 987, it's got two verses if you're following in the book, but it's got three verses that we'll sing together from the screens, and we'll stand and we'll sing and use it as an opening hymn together. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. And when we come towards the end of verse 2, it reminds us that heaven's peace and perfect justice kiss the guilty world in love when the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our salvation. But three verses to sing. Let's stand and sing them as our opening hymn. Let's sing a few further pieces together that somewhere within them will mention the word peace. And we'll start up with a chorus which the young people used last Sunday. Last Sunday is one of our pieces of praise with the young people on their special day. And didn't they do so very well? Marvellous services they were indeed. And we sang together the chorus, love is a flag flying high from the castle of my heart when the King, the Lord Jesus, is in residence there. And the other two verses are joy and peace, love. Joy, peace, the first three of the fruit of the Spirit. So we'll sing all three verses tonight. Again, it's good to see young people with us in the service. Let's sing the chorus through together. I know the screens are a little harder to follow tonight in the brightness, but I trust you can make them out.
Thank you.
love and joy and peace, a wonderful trio. And we all would confess we could do with more of them in our lives so often. And it's the Lord Jesus who makes the difference. When he's in our life, we can enjoy those things more regularly, more consistently. Because when we try to derive them solely from ourselves or solely from our circumstances, then they change and we lose them. But the Lord is consistent and with us always. 452, if you're using the book, we're going to sing the first verse of this lovely hymn, "Loved with Everlasting Love, led by grace that love to know." And of course it takes us through Spirit breathing from above. "You have taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace," which we have when we're saved and trusting in the Lord Jesus. "Oh, this presence so divine, in a love that cannot cease, because he keeps it forever. I am his and he is mine." Just the first verse this evening. Words of a chorus that are drawn from words of scripture from the book of Isaiah, a hymn of the gospel. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye people, turn to him while he is near." That's the gospel's call. We're called to turn, to repent, to come to the Lord while he's near. "Let the wicked forsake his own way and call on him while he may hear. Oh, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters of life. Come and drink of the milk and the wine, and come without money and price, because Christ has provided free to us at the cost of his life." And then we have the word, "And there is peace like a river and glory divine." 591, singing it through the watts. Short selection tonight, so coming to our last piece. And again, we'll stand to sing, and we'll sing it in its entirety, and it'll come up on the screens because it's not in our books. But again, it picks up on that theme that peace, real peace, true and lasting peace, doesn't come from within ourselves, doesn't come from circumstances or people around us, although they can help, but it comes from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting, saving faith in him. That's what gives us our certainties, and that's what gives us true and lasting peace. Because we can try all else, as this hymn says, but love and joy and lasting peace are found in the Lord Jesus. Let's stand and sing this favourite hymn through as our second piece tonight.
And that's just a lovely selection there on the theme of peace. And I'm so glad that over the Beatitudes that Rodney has done that, has just taken up the Beatitude and chosen suitable pieces. And it's always a tremendous help that. Let's just have a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this lovely June evening. We know that there are many around the province today who have no thought of you, God. And yet your word tells us that you cause the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. And how we thank you for the sunshine, but you will not be thought of in people's minds that way today. And yet they are enjoying this token of mercy. Because we are told in the Psalms that as the sun shines, that is a visual aid of your mercy that endures forever. We thank you, God, for churches today where people have met. Your word has been preached. And we remind ourselves that you have made us and not we ourselves. You have given us all things to enjoy. And so we just thank you and praise you for this evening hour. And thank you indeed for this great theme of peace that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. How there are those can testify who they have tried this, that and the other to try to find inner peace. But it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can give that inner peace. Peace of conscience. Peace of assurance of salvation. That eternal life can be known now. We don't have to wait until we die to see whether we're going to be welcomed into heaven or not. We can know now. And we thank you for the peace that that gives. How Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How he talked about the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So many troubled minds today. But we thank you for the peace of God. So Lord, bless your word to your hearts tonight. And the pieces that we have sung and what we shall yet sing to your praise and glory. And Lord, there are those who do not have this inward peace. They do not have Christ as the Saviour. The Prince of Peace is not occupying their hearts. And yet, Lord, we thank you that tonight they could invite him in and enthrone him as the King of their lives. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. And so, Lord, just touch all our hearts and bless your word, we pray. And as believers meet around the Lord's table afterwards, we ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. Let's just remind ourselves of the Beatitudes, again from Matthew chapter 5. Let's just read the first 12 verses again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen, and may the Lord bless his word to us. Now it's good to see you out at church tonight. The Lord bless you indeed for being here. And let me just leave you with the announcements. Believers will meet around the Lord's table after this service. If you've never witnessed the Lord's table, if you've never witnessed what goes on, feel free to stay and you'll see what that is all about. On Tuesday night, the prayer meeting and the Bible study, and of course that meeting continues on, where people meet for prayer and further learning from God's word. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Friday night at 8 o'clock, the deacons meeting. Next Sunday, 11:30, we shall welcome our good friend, the Pastor G.S. Nair from India, from Trivandrum in Kerala. He's in Scotland at the minute, comes over to Northern Ireland tomorrow, and we're looking forward to having him next Sunday. Our time of prayer at 6:10, and then our evening service at 6:30, all in the will of God. So these are the announcements. Pray for the services. Attend the services. Invite others along with you to the services. Let's bring then our offerings to the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you indeed for this wonderful peace flowing down from the Father above. And we thank you for the many today who have entered into that peace of God, because the message that we preach is called for us the gospel of peace. It is a message of peace. And we thank you and praise you that that is the nature of it. It's not a political message, it's not a philosophical message, it is a spiritual, eternal, biblical message. And there will be no peace until such a message is accepted and believed. And so bless your word to us tonight, O God. We do pray that you'll bless all where your word is preached, across the British Isles, indeed across the world today. 24 hours a day with the different time zones, your word is being preached. And we thank you for that. Believers are being built up in their faith. Backsliders are being restored. Sinners are being saved. And Lord, we thank you for that. Do bless those belonging to your church here, those who are in need, those in hospital, those families where there is worry, where there are burdens. Just draw near unto them at this time. Those listening in via the internet and watching our services, bless them, Lord. And whatever their needs are, we know that their need is the same as ours spiritually. Everyone is in spiritual need, no matter where they're from, no matter who they are. And just meet that need, we pray. So continue with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hymn 421, 4, 2, 1. Like a river, glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. So this seventh beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I think of all the beatitudes that this one, maybe over the years, has been taken out of context and has been applied to situations and individuals, that it ought not to have been. Because we have in these beatitudes a picture of the Christian life. I want to say the beatitudes are not directions on how to become a Christian, but a multifaceted description of what a Christian is and how a Christian behaves when the Holy Spirit governs his thoughts, words and actions. The beatitudes are not a program but a portrait, not a directive but a description. You can't look at these beatitudes and say, oh, I don't have any interest in that one, but I like the looks of this one and I'll practice that. One can't be separated from the rest. It's all one unit. They cannot be broken up. This seventh beatitude, peacemakers, will be those who experience the previous six. They will have come to that place where they are poor in spirit. They will have humbled themselves before God. They will have mourned over their sin, that they are sinners. And they will have received God's comfort. They will be meek. They will hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will have experienced God's mercy, and then they will show themselves to be merciful. They will be pure in heart. They will battle against sin. They will mortify the flesh. We spent 2 weeks looking at this particular beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God now, and in different ways. And then, of course, ultimately, they will see him in heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Lord Jesus isn't talking about different groups of people. He's talking about people who have experienced these different things. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And first of all, we have to think of personal peace. And then we'll think of practical peace. Peacemakers. And then part of the family. For they shall be called sons of God. And this is where this is the start. It's the start in the heart. Personal peace. You cannot be a peacemaker unless you have made peace in your own heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Or it can be turned round. Blessed are those who make peace. Now, who have you to make peace with? The first that you have to make peace with is God. You have to make peace with God. Because as a sinner, you do not have this peace of God. Romans 8 verse 7 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. James chapter 4 paints this picture, chapter 4 and verse 4. You adulterous people. Now he's not talking about sexual adultery. He's talking about spiritual adultery. Because there is that thought of adultery as well. That if we don't, if you are professing Christian, and instead of giving God your all, if you're seeking to have some other idol, then you're guilty of spiritual adultery. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Enmity is a very strong word to show that there is a real bitterness between you and God. There's real antagonism there. And if you're a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. If you are an enemy of the world, if you have no desires in the things of the world, but just want to live for God and for eternity, then you're his friend. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You're guilty of breaking God's law. Paul uses the thought of reconciliation. And of course that has been a well-worn a word, even in our province, reconciliation. But there is that which then the individual needs before God, to be reconciled to God. Romans 5 and 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved through his life. So I'm just trying to build up a picture here of the standing of the sinner before God. You are God's enemy. You need to be reconciled. And whenever you come to Christ as your Savior, that's when you experience peace. That's when you come to know peace. It is the gospel that reconciles man with God. Ephesians 6 and verse 15, the gospel of peace. The man of that gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace. The one who said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Do I give unto you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is no peace without being justified before God. Romans 5 and 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We come even with the eye of faith to Calvary, where we see Jesus dying upon the cross, where we see his blood being shed. And Colossians 1 verse 20 says, making peace by the blood of his cross. So there is no peace without knowing God. Job 22 verse 21, agree with God and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. So there's got to be this personal peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. You have to make peace with God, first and foremost, before you can be in any situation where you can be a peacemaker. I know there are those in different situations who make peace in a political way and so on. But you've got to know it first of all in your heart. Personal peace. And we can think within this beatitude, practical peace. Because there's something practical happening here. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who make peace. For they shall be called sons of God. Now we move in different circles of people. Romans 12 and 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And sometimes that's hard work. All depends who the person is. All depends who the people are. But it's what we have to do. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. There are those in the different countries, and they travel around the world, African countries where there's civil war. Look at Syria and so on. And there are those from the United Nations and so on who are seeking to come and to bring about reconciliation, to bring about peace talks. And sometimes they work for a while, and the two opposing factions meet, and they sign on the dotted line, and all's well for a while, and then the whole thing is taken up and ripped to pieces, and they start at it again. Peacemakers. We can talk about peace in families. We can talk about peace in nations. Peace in the church. Just peace anywhere. Practical peace. And the Christian is to be at the forefront in seeking to be a peacemaker. Not causing any trouble. It's terrible when you have a professing Christian who is more a troublemaker than a peacemaker. More a peacebreaker than a peacemaker. And yet, of course, that happens and is happening. And one has said, that miracle of grace which has made them at peace with God causes them to regard their fellows with sincere benevolence, desiring to promote their best interests both here and hereafter. In each relationship they occupy, domestic, social, ecclesiastical, we can even say political, it is their desire and endeavour to prevent and allay strife. How much the world is indebted to their presence, only the day to come will show. I love the words in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. And this is what the Lord Jesus came to do. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. I read an article this week in a missionary magazine in Israel. There is a pastor who is pastoring a church. The church is made up of people from a Hebrew background, many who are Christians, many who have come to accept the Messiah, but the pastor himself is a converted Arab. I think of the hostilities at the minute between Jew and Arab in Israel. And yet here we have a converted Arab ministering in a predominantly Hebrew congregation. Now, humanly speaking, that just would not come about. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to break down walls. That dividing wall, that figurative wall, that wall of hostility, the Lord came to break it down, that people might be one. Well, those of you who are old enough to remember, in 1990, 1991, the Berlin Wall being dismantled, families being reconciled that had been separated for years. But the Berlin Wall was now history. And what a moment that must have been. But from a spiritual point of view, which of course is going to have eternal repercussions, maybe that's the wrong word. The Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself is our peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Albert Einstein was a Nobel Prize winner for physics in 1921. And he said in a speech some years later regarding the threat of nuclear warfare, he said this about mankind: "It is not a physical problem, but an ethical one. What terrifies us is not the explosive force of the atomic bomb, but the power of the wickedness of the human heart, its explosive power for evil." And how true that is. He saw that the heart of the problem was the problem of the heart. As Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man. The potential that there is there for sin. How we need to make peace with God. It is said that over this past 4,000 years of history, there has been less than 300 of those years without a major war. And this led John MacArthur to say that peace in those years was merely that brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stopped to reload and to start again. What a history of war. What a history of trouble. What a history of peacemaking politically. But it starts in the heart. Because as a peacemaker then, you are in God's family. You're part of the family. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Alfred Nobel, he invented the various prizes after his name, physics and so on. And as we well know, one of them is for peace. And it's awarded every year. And when I think of the different Nobel Peace Prizes over the years, I just called it up on the internet and got a list from 1901 right down. I'm not going to read them all. There are names that I don't recognize at all. But could these people be called children of God? In 1976, it was won by Maria Corrigan and Betty Williams. Do you remember the peace marches of the summer of 1976? I'm sure there was one in Ballymena here. I can remember the one in Lisburn. 1979, it was won by Mother Teresa of Calcutta, a devout Roman Catholic. In 1989, it was won by the Dalai Lama, the leader of Tibet's Buddhists. In 1994, it was won by Yasser Arafat, the PLO leader. In 1998, it was won by John Hume and David Trimble. Now, overall, since 1901, there's been a mixture of religions. There's been atheists, there's been humanists. Now, within these leaders, even among this small group, there's Roman Catholics and there's Protestants and there's Buddhists, peacemakers. Peacemakers according to the world's definition of a peacemaker. But you cannot call some of these folk children of God. The Dalai Lama, he's of a different religion altogether. So you can see how this is it's of a narrow interpretation, this, and definition. To be a peacemaker, it just doesn't mean anybody that seeks to make peace. It is the Christian. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And to be a son of God, to be a child of God, you're to be born into that family. You have a particular surname because you were born into the family of that surname. And how we are born, and as it says in John 1 verses 12 and 13, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, all characteristics of the Christian life. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you peaceful within yourself? Can you honestly say that you have the peace of God because you're a Christian? And are you peaceable towards others then? Blessed are the peacemakers. Because it is a sign, it is a proof that you're a child of God. The peacemakers are those who are at peace with God and who show that they are truly children of God by striving to use every opportunity open to them and to effect reconciliation between others who are at variance. So you have to know peace, and then you have to show peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. First of all, you've made peace with God. Then you will seek to be a peacemaker among people and in different situations. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. As I preached before, there's, and as it's based upon our previous hymn, there's not many perfect things that we can know in this life. But Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. You can be at perfect peace with God. And that's a wonderful state to be in. The storm may roar without me, but when you have peace with God, that's the calmness of your heart in the storm. Marvelous to know that. And I trust that you will. Let's sing number 555. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within.
Peace.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.